Coming up next, a feeble old lady, a grumpy son and daughter-in-law, and the scary behavior of a little boy. Stay tuned. This is the Back to God Hour, a program that looks at life in light of the Bible, exploring God's answers to our questions. Our topic for today is honoring father and mother. And now here's our host, David Fettes.
Once upon a time, there was a little old lady. Her eyes blinked and her hands trembled. When she ate, she clattered the silverware, missed her mouth with the spoon as often as not, and dribbled a bit of her food on the tablecloth. Now she lived with her married son, having nowhere else to live, and her son's wife was a modern young woman who knew that in-laws should not be tolerated in a woman's house. "I can't have this," she said. "It interferes with a woman's right to happiness." So she and her husband took the little old lady gently but firmly by the arm and led her to the corner of the kitchen. There they set her on a stool and gave her food to her, what there was of it, in an earthenware bowl. From then on, she always ate in the corner, blinking at the table with wistful eyes. One day her hand trembled more than usual, and the earthenware bowl fell and broke. "If you are a pig," said the daughter-in-law, "you must eat out of a trough." So they made her a little wooden trough, and she got her meals in that. The man and his wife had a 4-year-old son of whom they were very fond. One supper time, the man noticed his boy playing intently with some bits of wood and asked what he was doing. "I'm making a trough," he said, smiling up for approval, "to feed you and Mama out of when I get big." The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and didn't say anything. Then they cried a little. Then they went to the corner and took the little old lady by the arm and led her back to the table. They sat her on a comfortable chair and gave her food to her on a plate, and from then on nobody ever scolded when she clattered or spilled or broke things. That story, based on one of Grimm's fairy tales, is a not very subtle way of saying, honor your parents or else your children won't honor you. That's much the same point God makes in the Ten Commandments when he says, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." What better day than Mother's Day to think about honoring our father and mother? The way adult children treat elderly parents is one part of honoring parents, the final phase of the relationship, but it all begins when you're a little child. At that point, you're dependent on your parents for almost everything, and you're under whatever authority they bring to bear on you. Then, as you grow and become a teenager, you become more independent. Even if you're still dependent on your parents for food and clothes and a roof over your head, you become less dependent on them in the way you think. Your attitude toward their authority often goes through an enormous change. A 4-year-old tends to think Mom and Dad know everything, but if you're a 14-year-old, you're more likely to think your parents know nothing. The relationship between children and parents has never been problem-free, but our society makes it even tougher because there's such a strong emphasis on the individual and far less on family bonds. Our society also tends to find fault with parents and blame our problems on their mistakes. How would you complete the following statement? "I love my mother, but..." Think about it. How would you respond? A survey asked people from a number of different cultures to do this. In our culture, most people took the statement, "I love my mother, but..." as a cue to criticize or mention something they wished they could change about their mother. In certain other cultures, though, people finished the statement very differently. Their answer was something along the lines of, "I love my mother, but I can never repay all that she has done for me." In a culture where family is prized, There's a tendency to honor parents. But in a culture like ours, where the individual is emphasized, there's a greater tendency to criticize parents and a greater gap between parents and children generally. What's happening when teenagers feel more drawn to singers and actors than to their parents' ideas? What's going on when retired people would rather live near a golf course in a warm climate than be near their children and grandchildren? And what about inconvenient seniors in failing health who are given not a trough in a corner, perhaps, but a spot in a nursing home where their children seldom visit? Why does the generation gap often seem so wide? Is there any way to bridge the gap? Does any of this really matter? Is it really so important for children to honor their parents and for parents to be honorable? It's extremely important, if for no other reason than the fact that God commands it. Whenever the Lord of heaven and earth says something, it's important. Still, God doesn't say, "Do it just because I said so." That would be reason enough. But God gives another reason. He says you must do this in order to live and flourish in the territory God gives you. Like all of God's commandments, the command to honor your father and mother isn't just the right thing to do. It's the healthy thing to do. It's not just good, it's good for you. By the same token, if children must honor and obey their parents, then parents must take special care to be honorable, to be parents worth obeying. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Before I say more, let's listen to a song. Here are Dallas and Linda Holm, joined by their children and Dallas's parents.
Train up your children in the way they should go. Show them the lessons of the heart. Teach them the truth that they most need to know. When they are old, they won't depart.
A prodigal son, from the truth, I wandered away and squandered the days of my youth. But when I had come to the end of myself and found I was left all alone,
children in the way they should. should
go. The way they should go.
Show them the lessons of the heart.
You gotta teach them the truth.
Teach them the truth.
That they most need to know.
When they are on their own apart.
Train up the children.
When moms and dads introduce their children to Jesus Christ and show by word and example how to live for Him, and when the children honor their father and mother, the future is bright. On the other hand, if children diss their parents, if they disrespect and dishonor them, the future is bleak. The Bible says bluntly, "Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother." If a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by vultures. Ravens and vultures feast on dead bodies, so this is the Bible's way of saying, "Diss your parents and you're dead meat, you're buzzard bait." This grim warning is the flip side of God's positive command to honor your father and mother and His promise that you may live long and flourish in the place God gives you. According to the Bible, honoring your parents is a life and death matter. So let's consider what the command to honor our parents means for us today. First of all, this command affirms authority. The command is to honor. Honor is a word that has to do with recognizing authority. Love and affection are very important in the home, of course, but there must also be a clear, firm structure of authority. Authority isn't very popular these days, however. Since the 1960s especially, it's been thought almost a duty to question authority, not to honor it. In certain times and cultures, people have been too quick to knuckle under to authority, even when authority figures were dreadfully wrong. But that's hardly our problem today. Whether it's government, church, school, or parents, we tend to resent authority and to think that the only opinion that really matters is our own. Today, the situation is such that someone has said, "In our school system, the teachers are afraid of the principal is afraid of the school board is afraid of the parents are afraid of the kids, and the kids aren't afraid of anybody." Regard for authority is low, and many people think that's the way it should be. Parents and teachers often feel unfit to exercise authority over children. The modern way has been to view children as basically good and noble. The parent's job is to be as permissive and affirming as possible and not to impose anything on their children. Likewise, school teachers are to enhance children's self-esteem and assist children in clarifying their own values without imposing anything on them. But when this happens, parents and teachers are abandoning their rightful authority. They ought to be giving authoritative guidance to children. Kids need to know that their instincts aren't always good, that many of their desires are destructive, and many of their values are selfish and immoral. Among other things, authority means saying, "I know more about right living than you do, so I am going to teach you, and I expect you to listen." The Lord expects parents to exercise their proper authority. God wouldn't command children to honor their parents if He hadn't given parents authority in the first place. When parents lose their nerve and abandon their authority, or when kids reject the authority of good parents, what happens? Are the children then free from all authority? Not at all. They just submit to different authorities. If you're a teenager and you stop trying to please your parents, does that mean you're now strong and independent and making your own choices? Not quite. Often it just means you're more eager to please your peers than your parents. You want to fit the standards of your age group and your friends. You want to buy their kind of shoes, wear their kind of clothes, have their kind of hairstyle and earrings and whatever else fits the look of kids your age. You want to use their kind of words, listen to their kind of music, and do the kind of things the kids around you are doing. Sometimes this is fairly harmless, but at other times it can lead to serious damage. When somebody offers you a cigarette or some booze or marijuana or cocaine, do you think they have your well-being in mind? Of course not. But it's tempting to go along if that's what it takes to fit in. If the kids in your school or neighborhood talk like there's something wrong with you if you're still a virgin, or if someone you're dating is putting pressure on you to go all the way, is it because they're concerned about your future happiness? Of course not. But it's hard not to give in to such pressure. It helps a lot if you have parents who taught you to know better, and if you honor them. When you dishonor your parents and disobey their wisdom, you may feel like you're being independent, like you're doing what you and your friends want instead of what adults want. But do you know the really sick joke? Just when you think you're being your own person, just when you think your generation is showing that it's free from the control of grown-ups, the fact is that you're doing the will of certain adults who hide behind the scenes and know how to pull your strings like a puppet. Behind most of the fads in clothes, shoes, hairstyles, and so forth are shrewd marketers who target each new generation. They try to widen the generation gap so that kids will do what adult peddlers want instead of what adult parents want. Take MTV, for example. It's a channel owned and managed by adults. Its main goal is to make money for adults who own stock in the huge corporation that has MTV as one of its many holdings. Before MTV got off the ground, a bunch of researchers planned very carefully how they could hook kids, get ratings, and sell lots of albums and other stuff. MTV executives call it the most researched channel in history. MTV studied what kids are like, not for the purpose of helping them become better and happier, but simply to manipulate the kids into buying what companies are selling. As an MTV executive once put it, at MTV, we don't shoot for the 14-year-olds, we own them. Adults are the ones calling the shots at MTV and South Park and all the other TV programming and movies and magazines targeted at youth. Most of the so-called youth culture isn't run by youth at all. It's run by adults whose only interest in the youth is exploiting them and using them to make money. For every group of kids drooling over a pornographic magazine, there is a sleazy adult millionaire somewhere snickering all the way to the bank. For every movie or TV show that shows a steamy sex scene and gives kids the feeling that this is what love is all about, there's a production studio and a corporate sponsor who are counting their money, even as teens get pregnant, catch diseases, and lose all respect for sex and love and marriage. For every kid that smokes a cigarette because other kids think it's cool, there's an advertising executive and a tobacco company gloating over the millions they're making in the youth market. For every kid that takes drugs or booze from another kid, there's an adult drug dealer or an adult brewing company executive who just got richer. For every kid buying the albums of messed up, immoral, suicidal rock singers, there's a record company executive somewhere getting richer and richer. These adults are in the game of making money off kids, and they know what buttons to push. They know that rebellion, anger, sex, violence, and peer pressure have an especially powerful pull for confused teenagers. And these adults skillfully push kids' buttons in order to make money for themselves. Meanwhile, parents who simply want to help kids get past these problems and obsessions and grow to maturity, these parents seem to be out of touch. If you're a teenager, you need to know what's happening here. The question isn't whether you follow the lead of adults. You're going to be influenced by adults whether you realize it or not. The only question is, which adults? The ones who put a dollar value on your soul, or the ones who gave you birth and love you and want to help you become wise and strong and good? Honor your father and your mother, and you'll be much more able to resist manipulators. The direction of your life is determined by whose voice you listen to. And where you spend eternity, heaven or hell, is determined by whose voice you listen to. You may want to think for yourself, but none of us does our thinking in a vacuum. Our thoughts are shaped by the voices we listen to. If you reject your parents' voices, you'll be shaped by the voices of others, many of whom don't love you or care what happens to you. Ultimately, your destiny is determined by whether you listen to the voice of Satan or the voice of God. In God's design, listening to your parents is a training ground for listening to the Lord Himself. If you won't listen to parents who know what's best and want what's best for you, how can you listen to the Lord who knows what's best and wants what's best for you? You may get a thrill out of songs that glorify rape or cop killing or devil worship. You may think it's exciting to do bad things. But are you really doing your own thinking? Or are you letting other sinners and even Satan himself do your thinking for you? Why listen to the voices that want to rip you off and ruin you instead of the voices that want to give you life and happiness and fulfillment? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, says Jesus. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus didn't come to grab your money and wreck your life, and neither do parents who love Jesus and love you. They want you to have life and have it to the full. That's why it makes sense for you to honor the Lord. And that's also why it makes sense for you to honor the parents God has given you. In an age that's so negative about authority, the Lord commands us to honor authority. What's more, in an age that glorifies youth and despises old age, the Lord calls us to respect our elders. One problem when we don't respect older people is that we don't want to get older ourselves, and so we never really grow up. More and more people get stuck in perpetual adolescence. They're in their 30s or 40s, and they still have the problems of teenagers. They're still afraid of responsibility. They still prefer sexual experimentation to lifelong commitment. And they spend a ridiculous amount of money and effort trying to look young and sexy. They do almost anything not to look their age, resorting to facelifts, liposuction, implants, hair dyes, and all the rest. In contrast to all this, the Bible says, gray hair is a crown of splendor. There's something splendid about being old and even looking your age. Being young has certain advantages, but so does being old. In God's design, there's something special about each phase of life. Kids have extra energy and enthusiasm, while older people have experience and wisdom. The Bible says the glory of young men is their strength, gray hair the splendor of the old. Part of honoring our parents is recognizing the wisdom that comes with age. Mark Twain once described his own teenage years and his attitude toward his father this way. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have him around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. A lot of us can identify with that. When we go through those years of developing our identity, when we're first learning to really think for ourselves, we may think our parents are really out of it, that they just don't get it, that they're downright ignorant. But once we've made it through that stage, there's often a renewed respect for our parents' wisdom. In saying all this, I'm not trying to claim that all parents are perfect or that getting older automatically makes you wiser. There are abusive and unfair parents, and there are people who, instead of getting older and wiser, just get older. When God calls us to honor parents and aged people, He also calls parents and grandparents to be the kind of people who deserve such honor. Where a generation gap exists, where children and parents are distant from each other, both need to be reconciled to the Lord and to His will for them. Then they can be reconciled to each other. The command to honor our parents means that people committed to God will also be committed to their family. Too often, our own individual desires come first, and family comes in a distant second. When that happens, the generation gap becomes a huge canyon. If grandparents prefer a golf course in the sun to the company of their children and grandchildren, they shouldn't be too shocked if, when their health fails, they find themselves in a nursing home where they seldom see their children or grandchildren. I'm not saying seniors should never enjoy themselves in a warmer climate, nor am I saying that it's always evil for an elderly person in need of special care to be in a nursing home. But I am saying that too often family ties are viewed more as a burden than a blessing. We need to put relationships before personal pleasure and convenience. We need to ask how we can best love our dear ones before we ask how we can enjoy ourselves. Only mutual love and honor can bridge the generation gap. Where these bonds of love and honor exist, based on a common faith in Jesus Christ, family members can support each other, and each generation can be proud of the other. Let's pray that God will make that more and more a reality for us. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the families you've given us. Help us to honor our father and our mother, and help those of us who are fathers and mothers to be the kind of parents that deserve to be honored. Where we have failed, forgive us for the sake of Jesus' blood. Renew our families, and above all, renew our devotion to you, that we may live under your blessing both now and for all eternity. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to the Back to God Hour with David Fettes. If you have spiritual concerns or questions, you're invited to contact us. Also, if you'd like your own printed copy of today's message, you may have one free of charge. Just write us and ask for the message called Honoring Father and Mother. Our address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. The name of the message again is Honoring Father and Mother, and the address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. And when you write, please include the call letters of this station. Also, a cassette tape of today's program is available for $4. Do you make some time each day for some special moments with God? Now, that's a healthy habit we all need. Personal and family devotions are vital to a close relationship with Jesus. We'd like you to know about our daily devotional booklet called Today. It contains a Bible reading, a meditation, and a brief prayer for each day of the week. And we'd be glad to send you a copy of Today free of charge if you write us at the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. Again, if you'd like a copy of the program you've just heard, Honoring Father and Mother, or if you'd like a free copy of our Today devotional booklet, please get in touch with us. This is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655.
Hi, David Fettes here. Our ministry is producing a new television program called Primary Focus, with fascinating stories and a unique perspective on important issues. Watch Primary Focus on PAX TV Friday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, 8 Central and Mountain. Again, that's Primary Focus Friday mornings on PAX.